The Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about delay in marriage in the view of Islam.
So blue upon my eyes with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start. I feel so positive. Just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do.
Many things, yeah.
That can make me feel so close to you.
My heart when I'm
loving, 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 loving you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today, Tuesday, is the 28th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to chapter Nur from the Holy Quran, verse 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم.
And marry the unmarried among you, and the righteous among your male slaves and female slaves. If they should be poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty, and Allah is all-encompassing and knowing.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Marriage is emphasized in Islam. Islamic society is responsible for marrying of those who are celibate. Parents who do not marry their offspring are partner in sin that their issues commit. In this verse, I mean verse 32 of chapter Nur, one of the most important ways of struggling against wickedness, that is simple, easy, sincere, friendly marriage, is mentioned because it is obvious that in order to win up the issue of sin, the approach of satisfying and gratifying the instincts is applied. In other words, no negative struggle is successful without positive struggling.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin, your creation is a dream. From the stars to the moon, your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin.
This part, delaying marriage, in the view of Islam. Dear brothers and sisters, marriage is one of the strongest shields against the enemies of faith. During one's youth, on one side, the attractive forces of spirit and nature, purity and virtue, become more active and invite man towards himself. On the other hand, the attractive forces of instinct and sexual lust and desire awaken and call men toward one another. Each of these two attractive forces is essential and necessary, and Allah has bestowed them on man by virtue of His wisdom and benevolence for the sake of man's progress, maturity, and completion. The invitation of each one of them must be answered positively, and the requirements of each must be fulfilled. If the attractive forces and desires of lust are not properly, wisely, and as Allah has said it, answered and controlled, they would rebel and overflow and attract the positive forces of nature and spiritualism, and as they have become bold and wild, they might well ruin and destroy the positive forces.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the
defects or the unfavorable consequences of late marriage or getting married quite late in life. Another one in this connection, another unfavorable consequence of getting married quite lately is the increase of insecurity. We find that security is a divine blessing. And since security is very much important in any community, I mean, regardless of the religious character of people or regarding the dominant culture of any community, I mean, which may be religious or irreligious, we find that everybody needs security. When security is no longer observable or no longer available in any community, we find that the girls in that community are more apt to receive some harm, some serious harms, both from themselves and from the single men who are available in the community, and who may create problems for girls. Another aspect in this regard is that some people may say that we want our children continue the higher education or receive, for example, a good job or, for example, receive good salary. These are just some excuses. It cannot be denied that having a good job or having, for example, a good house or home or lodging or shelter is important, but at the same time, the new family's alacrity and readiness to live with each other is much more important. I mean, the psychological side is much more important than the financial or accommodation side.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
You are with today's special, and we'll look at the benefits of marriage on time. One of the benefits is have more time to know each other better. Getting married earlier means more time to know each other. As you married at such young age, inshallah, there will be more time to spend with your life partner. We understand our partner more because we have lived with them for a long time, so we become more cooperating to them. The other benefit of marriage in a suitable time is feeling the love of mercy from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised love and mercy to whoever getting married early. As said in the Holy Quran, and one of his signs is that he has created for you spouses from amongst yourselves so that you might take comfort in them, and he has placed between you love and mercy. In this, there is surely evidence of the truth for the people who carefully think. Chapter Ar-Rum, chapter 30 of the Holy Quran, verse 21.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. Found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh.
Now the question is here, when must we marry? Marriage has a season and a spring. And if this passes away, you would face a loss. The fruit that ripens and it's not benefited from becomes spoiled and stale. Is it not a pity that a young one who has Allah to support and help him is afraid of such imaginary and absurd matters? Be brave, take steps depending and trusting upon Allah. Be contented and assured that Allah will help you, and inshallah you will succeed. Allah has promised in the Holy Quran that He will solve the problems and difficulties, saying, if they are poor, Allah will make them free from want out of His grace. Chapter 24, verse 32. Do you not believe in Allah's promise and commitment? So be brave.
You know, I once even read a study that was published by the New York Times in 1995. You know, it said that married couples, generally speaking, are healthier. Married people, generally speaking, live longer. Now, yes, you could argue that some of them are more willing to die than others in their marriages, but generally speaking, they do live longer. They are more stable. Marriage makes you responsible. When you have a family, when you have a house, you feel responsible. And you know, unfortunately, many of our youth, they waste their time. They act irresponsibly. When you get married, you are forced to act responsibly. You can't party all night and, you know, spend it outside your house with your friends wasting time. Because you have a wife to go back to. In a few years, you have children to go back to. You have a family to support. This will pressure you to act responsibly. Yes, I'm sure there are some people, which are a minority, of course, even when they get married, they still act irresponsibly. But I tell you, that's an exception. The average person, once he or she gets married, will act responsibly. So why would you want to postpone that? When you are achieving all of these benefits, your faith is being guarded, you're becoming a more productive person in society, and you're acting more responsibly. And your physical health will be better, your mental and psychological health will be better. Why would you miss out on all these benefits? It is for these reasons, amongst other reasons, that the religion of Islam emphasizes the importance of getting married at a very young age.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about marriage. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, God bless all of you, and we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world, 'cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam, dear friends, and we start a day with a statement from the Prophet's ninth infallible heir, Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace upon him, who provides us a glimpse of the rights of women in Islam, whose laws and liberties are far superior to whatever the modern world can conceive. The Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, accepted the Pledge of Allegiance of women by dipping his hand in a bowl of water. And when he took his hand out, the women dipped their hands in that bowl and declared the Shahada, that is, faith in God, belief in the Prophet's mission, and the matters they had to acknowledge.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a hadith, which, interestingly enough, is about another hadith. You know, there's a famous hadith narrated from the Prophet. This is a very, very famous hadith. A lot of people mention it, and, people misconstrue it, and, they interpret it in different ways, to corroborate and to reinforce their own personal agendas or their own personal goals or whatever. That hadith is the saying of the Prophet where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ikhtilafu ummati rahma," which is translated sometimes as the differences amongst the members of my community is a mercy. The separation of my community is a mercy. You know, it can be translated in different ways depending on the intention which we feel the Prophet is, that we feel the Prophet had when he uttered this statement. But interestingly enough, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about this hadith from one of his companions, and he kind of explained what this actually means. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked by Abdul Mu'min al-Ansari. This person said the following to him: "Verily, some people narrated from the Prophet that he said, 'The separation of my community is a mercy.' And they were truthful," meaning the Prophet actually did say this. "So I ask that if their separation is a mercy, then is their congregation a chastisement?" So this person kind of, he kind of derived the logical converse of this statement, in the sense that if the Prophet intends to say that the separation and disunity of the community is mercy, then their unity should be, a type of punishment and chastisement. The Imam then said the following to him: "It is not as you understand it, nor as they understood it. Actually, he meant the saying of Allah, but why should not there go forth a group from each of their sections?" So he commanded them to go forth to the Prophet and to frequent him and learn from him, then to rejoin to their people and teach them. So what is meant is physical separation from their cities. Right? So the Imam kind of alludes to the meaning of this hadith. So separation here does not mean separation of hearts, separation between people in their goals, disunity between people. No, it refers to physical separation, meaning the people in different cities in the Islamic world, they should leave their cities, come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learn from him, and then go back. This is the cause of mercy, right? And this is alluded to in this verse of the Holy Quran that the Imam mentions here, where God says, "Why should not there go forth a group from each of their sections لَيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, so that they could learn religion. In continuation, the Imam says, so what is meant is physical separation from their cities, not separation or difference with the religion of Allah. Meaning, it doesn't mean that what if there's a group in the ummah, if there's Shia and there's Sunnis and they're fighting with one another, this is a mercy. No, this is not what he meant. For verily, the Imam says, the religion of God is one. إِنَّمَا الدِّينُ وَاحِدٌ. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at what it means when we say the separation of the Muslim community is a mercy, in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Habibullah Fasihizada with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. This is a great time that we are having again some of our friends from Sevier International School.
Except for one.
Yeah, students. Three of our friends from Sevier International School here. So they've joined us to help us hold these Quranic sessions. We are back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us again. We want to practice and continue Surah Al-Duha, where we were practicing Dagger Aleph, Maqsura Aleph, and the Complete Aleph, right? So inshallah, let's go and practice this surah. Then we will go and learn a new lesson, which will be very, very influential in reciting the Holy Quran, inshallah. So, Surah Al-Duha, I will be reciting, and our friends here, they will be repeating after me. And as you hear us, please repeat, okay? To master this surah as well and also learn those rules.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Okay, page 596. سورة الضحى والضحى والليل إذا سجى. Middle of the page. Are you there? Great, let's go. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
والضحى
والضحى
والليل إذا سجى
والليل إذا سجى
ما ودعك ربك وما قلى
ما ودعك ربك وما قلى
وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى
وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى
ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى
ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى.
ألم يجدك يتيما
فآوى. No. ألم يجد يجدك يتيما.
قلقلة, right?
Because yes, the d is one of the
قلقلة. D or جيم؟
No, دال.
دال. Because جيم is جيم has حركة, right?
Yes, قد.
But دال is ساكن. ما شاء الله مهدي. Let's practice it.
ألم يجد كيت ألم يجد.
Okay, so let me recite. ألم يجد كيت من فأوى.
ألم يجد كيت من فأوى.
Thanks, مهدي. ووجدك ضالا فهدى.
ووجدك ضالا فهدى.
ووجدك عائلا فأغنى.
ووجدك عائلا فأغنى.
Hadi, why don't you say that cough? ووجدك.
ووجدك.
Right? ووجدك عائلا فأغنى.
ووجدك عائلا فأغنى.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر.
فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر.
أحسن. وأما السائل فلا تنهر.
وأما السائل فلا تنهر.
Okay, there is one mad, right? وأما السائل فلا تنهر.
وأما السائل, there's a تشديد and there's a
Mad.
But no, not the mad. The mad is on the alif.
Yeah. Alif, maddi, and also a mad.
Seen with a tajdeed and a fatha, and
great.
Then an alif with the mad.
So what is this mad? Alif maddi, right?
Yeah.
And also we have another extra
if
mad.
If it's on an alif, it's an alif maddi. If it's on a ya, it's a ya maddi.
Great. So, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ.
وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ.
مين هو الحسين؟ I hear a عين. Where is that عين?
No.
There's no عين. Why did you say عين?
I read a word with two ساكين. Here.
Where?
وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ. Has two ساكين.
Yeah, of course. But they are not next to one another.
Oh, yeah. ساكين down, ساكين up, ساكين down is impossible.
Okay.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So, منها الحسين, okay, be careful about حمزة. So Hamza produces the sound of not a. That's عين, okay? That's not Hamza. So, but this one, which has the sound of a, وَأَمَّس, don't say وَعَمَّ. So if you say عَمَّ, that's another sir. Word. أَمَّ, that's another word. وعمّة. Two different words.
وَعَمَّ means my aunt.
وَعَمَّتِي. Okay, عَمَّتِي, عَمِّي. Yeah, that's
it means عَمِّي means uncle, and عَمَّتِي means aunt.
Okay, so let's read it, okay? Now pay attention to Hamza, okay, Minhal? Brothers and sisters, if you have problem in Hamza and Ayn, so be careful. Hamza produces the sound of a. Simple a sound. Like a in English. Apple, not apple. You don't say, I eat an apple.
Like in page 10, it says, وَأَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ.
Yeah, أَخَذْنَا, right.
Yeah.
Here as well, we have, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّ.
So every single time you see an alif,
on the top of it, Hamza.
Yes,
that's
and
the sound of
and a Hamza. It's a sound.
Great.
But if it's down, it's an E.
E sound, right? If it is a Dhamma,
it's U.
Great. MashaAllah. E U. So the sound is different, okay, from Ayn. So how do you say? You say Wa'am.
Wa'am.
Great. Not Am. Wa'am. Now repeat after me. Wa'am. After me.
Wa'am.
After me. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ
وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ
إِلَى فَلَا
إِلَى فَلَا
إِلَى فَلَا يُو سَدْ إِلَى فَلَا
No, I said
No, you said إِلَى فَلَا
I said وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا
You said إِلَى فَلَا
That's okay, that's written وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ
وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ
وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ
وَأَمَّا
Did I say?
Yes, you said أَمَّا
So, good.
It means
Let me fix it. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ You are adding some other letters. I don't know where do you bring them from.
Because, sir, we're all reading at once. We get confused.
You take some letters from your pocket out and put them there. Some of them you take and put in your pocket.
No, it's binematic.
Read what it is.
So,
listen now, okay? Listen and repeat, okay? Listen carefully and then repeat. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ Okay, now we will come. So now we will go and look at the Alif Maddi, Waw Maddi, Ay Maddi if we have. So in the first ayah, do we have? What do we have here?
We have
Alif Maddi, right? Mahdi?
Yeah,
in the first ayah. Mahdi, والضحى we have ألف مقصورة which is ألف مدي, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then next ayah. والليل إذا سجى
Again,
مقصورة.
We have another ألف مدي as well. Where is it?
ألف مدي.
It's the com- إذا okay. والليل إذا سجى إذا okay.
You said
إذا. إذا. Now,
it's
in the
problem.
Yeah, third ayah. In the third ayah, how many ألف مدي do we have? In the third ayah. Let me read. Listen. Listen if you can find. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى
مَا قَلَى
Three. Great. Two of them are Alif Maddi and the other one are Alif Maqsura, right?
Three.
MashaAllah. In the fourth ayah. How many do we have? Mm-hmm.
One.
So?
1 minute.
One khabari.
Two. Let me recite now. Look at Alif Waw Maddi, Ay Maddi as well if
two,
we have.
Two. Sir, two.
Two.
Yeah. Where is the first one?
The first one is in the first.
Letter. Walal akhirat. Great. خير لك من الأولى
لا
أو as well. Waw Maddi.
أولى.
Ah, sir. Waw Maddi. In walal wal-layli
Oh yeah, ula
wal-layli there's an alif, hamza, and a kasra. So wal-layli e
wal-layla. We already passed that. We are in next ayah.
Oh what? Wama wadda'aka rabbuka.
No. Walal akhira.
Walal.
Oh yeah, walal akhira.
So in walal akhira we have the first one. Walal akhira tu alif mati. خير لك من ال Hadi, what is it?
Oola.
So what is oo? Waw Maddi, mashallah.
Oola.
Oola. La is Alif Maddi. It has Alif Maddi. So, walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al oola. Don't say oola. Oola. Okay? So, next ayah, mashallah. Ayah, fifth ayah. Verse fifth. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى
وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى
So, فَتَرْضَى we have Alif Maddi, right? Alif Maqsura, right?
Yeah, and Maddi.
And so, do we have any Waw Maddi,
no.
Yai Maddi?
Sir.
No. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ Look, كَسْرَ دَنْ يَا يَسَاكِن
Sir, no, I hear people. Sir, I hear people saying "Wala sofa yatika rabbuka fatata."
Maybe because they're pronouncing the dad so kind of heavily. Okay, that's why, or so firmly. So fatar da,
No, they're pronouncing the fa.
So in this ayah, pay attention. In this ayah, we have yu'tika, which is ya'i maddi, right? Kasra. After kasra, we have ya' sakin. Yu'tika. So don't say yu'tika. Yu'tika is wrong. Yu'tika. Yu'ti plus ka. Yu'tika. Okay? Then fatarudu alif maddi, which is alif maksura, right? So inshallah, next session we will go and study something new. But before that, let's thank all the students, all the friends who are here, and also Xavier International School, and also IRIB
English Radio. IRIB, not IRIB, it's
IRIB. But when I said IRIB,
not I.
May Allah Almighty help us, okay, again.
IRIB.
Inshallah, to hold these sessions, let's recite a salawat.
IRIB.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya man bada'a khalqi wa dhikri wa tarbiyati wa birri wa taghdiyati habni libtida'i karamak wa salifi birrika bi ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this excerpt of the Kumail supplication. Ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi, my Allah, my master and my lord, aturaka mu'adhibi binarika ba'da tawhidik, can you be seen tormenting me with your fire after I have professed to your oneness? وَبَعْدَ مَنْ طَوَى عَلَيْهِ قَلْبِي مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِكَ. After your cognition, my heart has embraced وَلَهِجَ بِهِ لِسَانِي مِنْ ذِكْرِكَ. And the remembrance of you, my tongue, has constantly mentioned. About this sentence, وَبَعْدَ مَنْ طَوَى عَلَيْهِ قَلْبِي مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِكَ. After
Your cognition, my heart, has embraced. We said earlier on that cognition of the Almighty Allah is one of the most important prerequisites of the acceptance of prayer. And it could be that Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to teach us this point, without which our prayers will not be accepted. Now, you may remember that the true meaning of prayer is turning toward Allah. So this must take place through the ways in which Allah the Exalted has ordered. For example, it has been narrated that once a man from Bani Israel used to worship Allah for 40 nights. Thereafter, he prayed to Allah, but his prayer was not answered. He complained about this to Prophet Isa, who in turn inquired from Allah the Exalted about this. Allah replied, "O Isa, he called me while he had a doubt about you in his heart." This means that true recognition of the Almighty Allah is only reached and fulfilled when you believe in all the Almighty Allah has sent down, whatever his signs are, the prophets, the imams, and of course the Holy Quran. This is because the reality of prayer is lying in the turning of the heart towards Allah. So if the heart becomes somehow occupied with something or someone other than Almighty Allah, of these worldly distractions and materialistic points, then the supplicant has not been able to reach the reality of prayer. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, "Indeed, Allah does not accept the prayer which rises from the back of a heedless heart." And this is exactly what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to Imam Ali alayhi salam in his will. He says, "Allah does not accept the prayer of a heedless heart."
Oh my God, my Master, my Lord, and my Nourisher, will you see me punished with the fire kindled by you, despite my belief in your unity, and despite the fact that my heart has been filled with knowledge of you, and when my tongue has repeatedly praised you, and my conscience has acknowledged your love, and despite my sincere confessions and my humble begging submissively made to your divinity? No, indeed you are far too kind and generous to destroy one you nourished and supported, or to drive away from yourself one you have kept under your protection.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, brothers and sisters, when Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Ba'da man tawa alayhi qalbi min ma'rifatik," after your cognition my heart has embraced, this means that at first, cognition of the Almighty Allah is one of the most important prerequisites of the acceptance of prayer. And then, this transition has to happen inside the heart, because this is the reality of dua. There must be some changes in the heart of the supplicant. If a supplicant wishes his prayer to be accepted, he must seek tender-heartedness. He must try to soften his heart. And when the heart becomes tender, it opens up. When the heart opens up, the veils between the supplicant and Allah are lifted. The supplicant is now nearer to Almighty Allah because of that riqqatul qalb. And this is when the mode of prayer and request comes into existence. This mode, how you stand while you're asking from the Almighty Allah, this really has an effect on the softening of the heart. The narrations that put emphasis on self-abasement during prayer are in fact for the purpose of reaching this criterion. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, interestingly and knowingly, mentions this, وَاعْتَقَدَهُ ضَمِيرِ مِنْ حُبِّكِ, the love of you to which my mind has clung. Because he knows that the moment of softening of the heart is the very moment of the descent of Allah's mercy. So, one should avail such moments by turning his attention to Allah for supplication. Because the mercy of Allah is without any reckoning during such moments. Let us end this episode of the program by a tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu says, avail yourself of the opportunity of prayer and dua at the softening of the heart, because it is a mercy. And this could be while the words of damir, qalb, and other similar words are used in the supplication, specifically the supplication of Kumail. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear listeners, sisters and brothers from every single corner of the world, I hope you're doing well and everything is just fine with you.
بسم الله النور
By the first verse of the Holy Quran
بسم الله النور
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Well, go sit in a very cozy corner because we're going to have some very special discussions for you. And you're listening to IRB English Radio. This is Youth Station, your favorite. This is Asma. I have the pleasure to be at your service as the host. And here with me, I have Brother Abdullah. So, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I was going to say that.
Are you a sort of a person who have so much objections?
I do object when it's time to object, but mainly...
I guess I'm a nagging person. I object a lot.
Women all nag. It's what do you call it? It's a known fact.
They don't nag.
What do you call it then?
They are very much sharp. They can get the details, so much of details, that's why they nag. Because they see things other people can't see.
No, I mean, look, it has been proven, right? Mm-hmm. Like scientifically and logically and socially and husband and wife-lically.
Yes.
That women, you know, they said that women, their brains... I read that search and I forgot. It says that they have...
Give us the gist and we will get...
Yeah, they have more letters and words in their minds to deal with than a man.
Yes.
So a man has few words to deal with in his brain or active at a time, like the woman. And it says that the woman use both of her... they have... And this is also from a Quranic perspective... that says a woman uses both of her intellectual and her other part of the brain. I forgot what it's called. Where a male uses just one part of his brain. So the woman's brain is constantly active because constantly active and constantly has words. So they talk too much. Not because they want to. It's just because they have the ability to. A man literally can't. So sometimes when a woman talk, if they talk about something that's useful, something that's... required, yeah, obviously that's part
of life. To this point...
But sometimes when they talk about things,
to this claim, I have no objection because, you know, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Because I think being talkative in a way that picks the detail is a talent, not a bad thing.
Yeah, well, obviously, like I said, if you if you have an eye for detail, that's one thing. But sometimes...
Yes.
I mean, let me speak from a man's perspective, right? When men say women nag too much, sometimes, look... You say to me, brother, Abdullah, what you're doing is wrong.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, and you leave it. And I said, okay, khair, I understand. But sometimes you just keep going on and on. And, but I got the point. And especially this is what men and like husbands and wives, they go through this issue, is that the woman, she keeps drilling the idea.